I shared this story earlier this week with our midweek Lenten worshipers, but I've been thinking about it a little bit more. My wife and son, Elliot, were out of town earlier this week. They were in Minnesota visiting family. We just had a baby that was born, my wife's side of the family, and it was exciting. They wanted to get a chance to go visit. So Sonia and Elliot took the train to Red Wing, Minnesota. So I was at home with our four-year-old daughter, Charlotte. I was batching it in a way with her, and it was a lot of fun. So we hung out quite a bit, and she stayed up oftentimes a little bit later than normal, and she ate a little less nutritiously than she normally would when mom's around. There might have been a couple burgers in there, frozen pizza. And after I put her to bed one night, I was watching Netflix. I was sitting up, and it was late. I mean, it was like 11 o'clock or so, and she was long in bed at that point. And I just hear from the other room, "Dad!" with this excitement in her voice. And my response is, "What?" You know, because it's like, come on, you know, you're supposed to be in bed. This is my time. We've been together all day. What? And then, even though I was annoyed, the next thing that came kind of just melted my heart. It was one of those aw moments. She just goes, "Dad, I love you. I love you. Aw. How sweet." And then she went right back to bed. That was it. She just wanted to wake up and say, "I love you." You know. We'll see how long this lasts, you know. I don't know if a teenager are going to be doing that. "Dad, what are you doing?" No. It's a sign, I think, of this immeasurable love that a child can have for a caregiver, no matter who they are, especially a parent. But, you know, sometimes as a parent, there aren't just those heartwarming moments, but there are these heart-wrenching moments where you know you've messed up because you've hurt someone that you really care about. And this is not an easy thing to talk about. There's this little human that loves you and adores you, that looks up to you. Basically, you are their whole world. So when you hurt them, it really gets you right in the feels. It really hurts back in a way that cuts through you a lot differently. Have you ever hurt somebody or failed them or disappointed them, somebody that you love? It really hurts, right? It hurts because you know you messed up and they love you anyways, but it really, really particularly hurts when you love someone and you mess up. I remember hurting this little one who calls me dad, and it's not a proud moment. It was just kind of a stupid thing, but she'll never remember it. But I remember hurting her feelings once, and I've obviously hurt her feelings since then. It comes with being a parent sometimes. But I remember being unprepared as a student. It's a couple years ago, living in Georgia. Rushing to get out the door in the morning, and my little girl was so proud that she was standing. So proud, and she was kind of walking like a drunken sailor. You know, she was just kind of getting in the way of everything, but she was so proud that she was standing. And where was she standing as I was rushing around in the morning, trying to get ready, get the car warmed up, get ready to head out the door with her to bring her to daycare? She was standing right in the way. So I remember being mad due to my lack of preparation. She was toddling along, standing in the way. I was annoyed. I had to keep stepping around her. And finally, I just kind of lost my cool and I just gave her a little push, like a bully on a playground. And she fell straight back right onto her bottom and looked up at me with this expression on her face like, "I can't believe you just did that." She went from being so proud, being on top of the world, that she was standing up on her own, to crushed that this person that loves her could knock her down on her butt. And I felt sick with regret that I did that. She immediately reached out, wanted me to scoop her up in my arms, and I did. But I felt sick. I lost my cool in just a split second. I was her world. I was her daddy. She had immeasurable love for me. And I did something mean. It hurts me now, and it hurt me then to realize that I was a really crappy dad in that moment. It hurt me because I had hurt the feelings of somebody that I loved. Even though she was totally fine, it hurt. It hurts to hurt somebody that you love, whether it's an accident, whether it's on purpose. And I think we've all been there because we're human, right? Yeah. When you think about our story today from John's Gospel, it's a really hard scripture to get at because everybody's heard it. Whether you've never set foot in a church in your life or whether you've been here front row center every day, not every day of your life, but every Sunday of your life, everybody's heard John 3:16. This makes me think of John 3:16 because in that story we hear about how much God loves the world. God loves the world so much that God gives the world God's only Son. We know what happened to Jesus. So how much it must have broken God's heart to send God's only Son into the world that does what it does to Jesus. If it hurts a dad that much to just knock a little kid down on their bottom in a moment of losing their cool, how much must it have broken God's heart to send Jesus into a world that would kill him? And what might that say about how much God loves the world, that God would do that? Jesus surely loved God, and God loved Jesus. So it makes the story of the cross that much more powerful, I think. And so our scripture today, as we explore it, is about love, immeasurable love. Because God loved God's Son so much, more than anything or anyone. And God showed that God loved us so much by sending Him. Not to judge, but to love, to save, redeem, and bless us. So I want to talk about this scripture of immeasurable love. And I'm hopeful that we can all glean something and bring it with us and take it out, live it out in the world. So let's chat about this immeasurable kind of love. Now, we didn't hear it in the scripture, but if we were to back up like a couple verses, we could hear the context. Jesus talking in this way about the Son of Man and how much God loves the world. It's like we're hearing that kind of out of context. But if we were to hear this scripture in context, we could back up to the story of a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is this Jewish teacher. Jesus is a Jewish teacher. But Nicodemus is a Pharisee leader. He was somebody that was very smart. He was very powerful. He wasn't anybody's fool. And Jesus and him are sitting down and they're having a really serious conversation. Jesus and him talk about what it means to be born again. Born again. And Nicodemus doesn't have this advantage that we do, living in the 21st century and having a whole lot of baggage with that terminology of being born again and knowing that, oh, this means to turn your life around, to turn literally toward God. To live anew, to kind of hit the restart button. Nicodemus doesn't know that's what Jesus is talking about. But he thinks Jesus, when Jesus is talking about being born again, he's like talking about going back into, you know, like a reverse pregnancy or something like that. Going back into a woman's womb. Jesus says, no, once you are out of the womb, you are out for keeps. He was talking about being born of water and spirit, being baptized into new life. then Jesus and Nicodemus, as they're talking, go on to talk about this serpent that we heard Howard talking about from the book of Numbers, being lifted up into the desert by Moses. In the Old Testament reading in Numbers, we hear about these Israelite people. You know, God's chosen, they are grumbling. And God is so miffed that they're grumbling and that they're talking trash about Moses, about God. They don't like the food. They don't like the accommodations. Who could complain? They were out in the desert for a long, long time, of course. But God sends this horde of snakes, weird story, to bite them. And then when the people turn, they turn around. They change their ways. God instructs Moses to make this pole of a big snake, a bronze serpent that's lifted up, hoisted up, so that when people look at it, they're healed. It's a strange little story. But when the folks look up at this serpent pole, they are kept safe and healthy and made well. We fast forward and go back to talking about Jesus again. Jesus was referencing that event. He says, just as Moses raised up that serpent, so too will the Son of Man get raised up. Just as Moses lifted the serpent, so will the Son of Man be lifted onto the cross. And Jesus is raised from death to defeat death forever. An act of love immeasurable. And looking upon the cross, in a way, is like looking upon that snake pole. It sucks the venom out of your life. It refocuses it onto something that's life-giving, even though it is an instrument of death itself. Jesus goes on then to talk about love, the love of God and how much God loves the world. How much God loves the world. Now, I could share this story because my wife isn't here today. No, it's not bad. When I was in college, I went out with a girl, and I remember I went to college in Iowa, mind you, so there's lots of cornfields and stuff like that. And do you remember the movie The Field of Dreams? The movie Field of Dreams? I can't remember if it's a Disney movie or what, but it's about baseball. And I dated this girl, and she was from a town that was in between my college town and Dyersville, Iowa. Dyersville, Iowa is where the Field of Dreams literally is. It's like out in the middle of this cornfield where they filmed the movie, and they still maintain this little baseball diamond that's out in the middle of this cornfield. So we ended up going to the Field of Dreams because I was staying in college and she was in her hometown. And her stepdad drove her out to the Field of Dreams, and we met and held hands and hung out. One of the interesting things about her stepdad, and he was a really neat guy, he would come to the Field of Dreams pretty regularly, and that's why that was our stop. He would bring a big, several-gallon bucket full of baseballs, and on them he would write John 3:16. With a marker, he'd write John 3:16. And when we'd hang out, he'd just take a baseball bat and he'd just pelt these baseballs out into the field. And he wouldn't go pick them up. The point was, someone would go along and they would pick up those baseballs that said John 3:16 on them. Maybe they were way out in the field. Maybe they were, you know, somewhere closer to the plates. But he would knock them out all over the place, and he'd hand them out. We kind of joked that he was like the baseball Santa Claus in some ways. And I so do appreciate what he did, because I think he was doing it as an act of really sharing about love. But in some ways, when I reflect, I kind of wish that it wouldn't have just said John 3:16, you know? I wish it would have had the 17th verse on there too. Because when we hear about the love of God and how much God loves the world, now that sounds like that sermon right there. Stop right there. But we often focus on that love and we forget why God sent Jesus to love. In the 17th verse, we hear a clear explanation, an affirmation, and in fact, a repetition that Jesus was sent to the world not to condemn it because God loved it, but to save it. It's not about who's in, who's out, but rather that God's intent is to love, to save, and bless the whole world without exception. God has been sent to save the whole world through Jesus. That's what the 17th verse says. And if we don't share that, then it just kind of ends with the love. It's significant that focus on the whole world. God loves the world. Because think about the significance of that love. How hard it must have been for God to have sent his Son into this world, knowing what would happen, and knowing about the kind of world that we live in. If you were to open up a newspaper, if you were to turn on the news, or spend any second on social media, Facebook or Twitter, some pretty nasty stuff floating around. People persecuting each other over skin color or who they're married to or who they voted for or whatever. People not loving one another, loving themselves, loving the world. World sounds kind of nasty. That God would send his only Son to save that world. That whole world that does all that nasty stuff, pretty powerful. And that God would send God's only Son to save that world, not to judge it, but to save it and affirm it and bless it. Man, that's powerful too. God gives God's Son for this world that does not love itself, in which we often do not love each other, a broken world. I've shared this before. Every once in a while you get to bust out these Greek words in a sermon. In our scripture today, the word for world is Greek. It says cosmos, cosmos. You've heard the word cosmos before. It means world. It means the whole world. Everywhere else in the book of John where cosmos is used, it means a world that is hostile to God, openly hostile. That God would send God's Son into that world, a world that does not say thank you, a world that has a lot of pain and suffering, a world that thrives on power and death, a world where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, a world that is very broken. That God would send God's Son into that world shows us how amazing that love of God is for us. John 3:16 talks about an immeasurable love. It says, this is how much God loves the world. This is how much God loves you. And this is why God did it. In verse 17. Save it. And so it is my prayer for us, as faith seekers, as Christians, as folks gathered here as a church community, that we can walk in the footsteps of this incredible God, this incredibly loving God, this radically loving, blessing, affirming, saving God, and that we can appreciate the cross and what happened upon it. If it hurts that much, knock a kid down on their bottom when you lose your cool, how much must it have killed God to send Jesus into the openly hostile world? My prayer is that we love more, that we judge less, that we bless more, and that we appreciate the cross, the life of Jesus, what God did, and that we can bless the world like Jesus did, the whole world. Because God loved this world so much, our world, that God gave God's only Son. Amen? And